Father, we thank you for this time of sharing, God. Right now, we ask for your presence to be made manifest. Don't let us say or do anything that's not going to mean glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our minds on in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on you. God, these are all heretofore foreign places we're going that is not familiar to any of us. That's why we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You deal with the spirit world and spiritual entities and all these metaphysical things. We need the Holy Ghost. It's too much. It's too much for the human mind to fathom. And our minds have been trained to deal with physical things. We've been taught in elementary school, middle school, high school, and then college to think on strictly a physical realm, to stay bound to the seen realm. The Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. It's all about a metaphysical, supernatural thing going on in the Bible. But we've been conditioned and trained not to trust in the spiritual world, but to only trust in the physical world. That has to change if we're going to win this fight, because we're dealing with metaphysical, interdimensional, extraterrestrials that are coming across that divide through portals to actually engage the human race. It's going to take another kind of person to deal with them. So God, make us into those people that will stand at the gates. The Bible says we'll war with the enemies at the gates. The elders in Israel sat at the gates of the city. There are people that need to stand at the gates that separate the seen from the unseen. There's got to be warlords that will encounter these invaders and bind them, render them helpless to set captives free. God, change our minds that we can now realize what we're really in when we got born again. Nobody knew what we were getting into when we enlisted into this army and we were born again. Man, we thought about going to church, singing a few songs, maybe a potluck dinner here or there, bazaars, you know, becoming a deacon or trying to be a preacher boy and all this other stuff. My God called me to preach and all that stuff. Nobody knew we were getting into the most dynamic, powerful war ever in the history of the universe. Nobody knew we had enlisted in an army. Nobody knew that we were going to be called to fight the fallen ones, the titans, the Nephilim, giants. Who knew that? That's why you have to systematically bring us to the level of understanding this, preparing us to engage the enemy. Because if we had known all this beforehand, we would have had a propensity to say, hey, look, man, you know, y'all keep that. So we've been slowly and methodically conditioned to understand what we're in. And now you've gotten to a people that will engage. That's what you've been waiting on. Some men who would lay down everything and engage your enemies. God, I believe we have them now formed up. Send us, God, equipped and armor clad into the battle for one purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's slow it down to a crawl. Let's look at this thing realistically, you know. Before you get into this hyped up and excited, you really got to begin to evaluate this thing, what we're really up against. You know, I don't want to get in this thing all hyped up, talking all that bold talk and false brave talk and trying to be courageous and, you know, all that junk right there, man, will get you killed. Anybody ever been into combat for real? When incoming comes in, you got live fire. Something changes in the atmosphere. Then now it gets real. Notice how everybody talks real big in basic training? But boy, you find a lot of cowards out there that you didn't realize was a coward. And normally the guy that talks the most is the scariest person. You know what I'm saying? The guy that's quiet, he's introspective. He's been examining this thing and thinking this thing through. I was talking to a guy that was a sergeant in the Army. Matter of fact, he was I think he was the highest sergeant you could be in the Army, which is what?
Sergeant Major.
Sergeant Major. He was a sergeant major, command sergeant major. He was down in Honduras or some godforsaken place. And he had about 20 troops with him, about 8 women and 12 guys. And somehow they had some insurgents attacked them. He said all those guys dropped their rifles and start cowering on the floor crying. He said those 8 girls locked and loaded, and they were lighting them up. 4 girls would stand up firing, they drop back and reload, other 4. He said, we're lighting them up, man. And so them guys over there crying and just in the corner, scared to death, shaking and trembling. And them girls were just lighting them up. He said, man, I ain't never seen nothing like it. That same guy said he walked into a building trying to, you know, evaluate what was in there and everything. And he was walking through there, and all of a sudden he came around the corner, and a civilian guy stepped around the corner real fast, and he had a 45 in his hand, and he blew the guy away. Because he just reacted. You know, the guy stepped around real fast, and he just shot him. He said, man, that thing has plagued me all these years. The guy really, he on meds now because it's just plaguing him, you know. Point blank range, you shoot somebody that's unarmed and just innocent. That's heavy. But those are the casualties of war. That's why people come back with all kinds of mental things and stuff on them. And it takes God to get you right. You got to go to God and say, God, listen, I got too much on me. My mind is heavy. Depression coming on me. I'm dealing with all. Can you save my soul? See, military guys need to get saved because only God can get your mind in peace again and bring you back into order internally. Nobody knows what you've been through but you. See, everybody walks around looking normal, but folks carry a lot of stuff on them. And only God can reorder your soul to get you back in peace again. Now, I don't care if you came from dysfunctional families. I don't care where you came from. It don't make it up. A lot of guys been molested. People don't tell you they've been sodomized as a boy. They don't talk about that. But they carry it inside. So you got to go to God and say, God, I need help, you know. He can fix anything. If he made it, he can fix it. You can't go to a Ford mechanic at Ford, you know, corporate headquarters. You go down there, they're going to say, you tell them, hey, man, this Ford messed up. If they made it, they can fix it. If they got to take it all the way back apart again to fix it, they can fix it. So my thing is, if I got an internal problem, man can't fix that because man didn't make me. I need to go to the designer and the person that fabricated it. You know, you want to find out that you guys work at GE and these engines, jet engines. Don't go over here to some foreign wasteland trying to get that jet engine fixed. Go right back to GE. If they got a constant problem occurring in the engine, then they got to go to engineering and find out why is this thing continually happening. And they got to do what? Deconstruct the engine and back out of the engineering and see, pick it apart and see, is this right here? This part right here, this chip right here is flawed. You know, if you get continual problems, you got to deconstruct. So right now we have to deconstruct the church. You see us now, if you don't see any power coming through the church, somewhere we have a flaw, this is a design flaw somewhere. Something is wrong. So we're searching to find out now, why don't we have power flowing? If you read Acts, you're going to leave you in tears like, man, these guys here, they're generating raw power. And now we are totally degressing and coming to a place of total disempowerment. Something is not right. Why are these eight girls jumping up, lighting up the enemy, and the 12 guys cowering in the corner? It's all about how they were raised. It's all about their hearts. It's all about castration. And the girls weren't castrated. In homes, especially the black home, you find the empowerment of the women and the disempowerment of the boys. What happens? They make the girls strong. They make the girls progressive. They make the girls authoritarian. And they coddle the boys. They make them cute. They pin them up. They braid their hair up and plait their hair. And don't let your son walk around with long hair like a girl. You see how many women that are single parents that have their boy looking like a girl? This is what's doing it. So in the time of battle, the women step up and the men fall back. That's what we're cursed by right now in the church. The church has the women stepping up. The women are starting ministries. They're going around as worldwide evangelists, talking about what God called me to do, all out of order, and the men step back. If that doesn't change, we got a cursed church that has no power because God will not anoint what he did not design. If he looks at an image and he doesn't see the reflection of himself, he's not going to move. We can pray until the cows come home. We can fast till we're down to 65 pounds, each one of us. He'll stand there looking at us until you do what?
Get in order.
You got to get in order. What did Isaiah tell Hezekiah? Set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. What happened to Eli with Hophni and Phinehas? He had two rebellious sons out of order and crazy, and he ended up cursed because his house was out of order. They were there laying with the girls in Israel, fornicating with everybody, and he wouldn't check it. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't afford to downgrade standards to accommodate rebellion. And the church has been doing that. Now they come with homosexuals. So then all these false religious systems, I don't even call them the church. That's not the church. When anybody refers to false religion as the church, just ignore that, because that's not the church. You know, I hear G. Craig Lewis say a lot of times that hip-hop is in the church. Hip-hop is not in the church. Hip-hop is in religion. So you're trying to fix religion to warn them about hip-hop. You know what you get with that? This is what you get. I think you got a hip-hop 10 either this month or next month. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get a bunch of people who still are interested in hip-hop coming to hear the latest news about hip-hop. That's all you're going to get. Because he advertises that with pictures of Jay-Z, Beyonce, Rihanna, Nicki Minaj, Kanye West, all these hip-hop stars, and we're exposing hip-hop. You know what? You were in hip-hop. You grew up in hip-hop. You know all about hip-hop. Why would you need an expose on hip-hop? Why not expose Jesus? If you're looking for transformation, what do you need? You need the object that you want to be transformed into in front of you. See, if I want to become the image of Jesus, I need Jesus in front of me, not hip-hop. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. So how many exposés can you do on something you already know about? You're wasting your time. You could be in the Bible. The Bible says you look in the Bible like a what?
A mirror.
And you keep reading until you look just like it. Yeah. He says you look in the Bible like you behold your own face in a mirror. You walk away and do what? Forget what kind of man you were. Because the Bible's not going to, you're not going to read the Bible. The Bible's going to read you.
Yes, sir.
It's going to show you yourself. And where you don't stand, you don't measure up to God's standards. It's going to read you.
Yes, sir.
You read it and saying, man. You get conviction all through the Bible. As you read the Bible, you feel like, man. Doggone it. I thought I was way down the road. Then I heard that message, balls, and found out I was a homosexual. I thought I was a man all these years. You know what I found out last week? I'm a cotton-picking homosexual. I don't like homosexuals. Man, you are a homosexual, man. That's crazy. So homosexuals are filthy. So do you have oral sex with your wife? Did she have oral sex on you? Well, yeah, you know. Well, you're a homosexual, man. I've seen a lot of guys get quiet real fast and become real somber and like reflective. You know, I'm reflecting on my homosexual. I am a homosexual. You know, I used to tell guys that all the time. They'd be talking, they'd be going on for 15 minutes about their wives and what they're. I said, man, your problem is you're homosexual. You're gay, man. Gay? Some of them get ready to fight you. You know, I done told guys 250 pounds that. What? You're a homosexual, man. Then you break it down as to why they're a homosexual, and they finally end up, you know what, man? I'm a homosexual. I remember Derek used to tell the story about being enthralled. He'll tell you himself. You know, they had the testimony. That's why I bring it up public, because he's talking about the public. How he was enthralled with Lil Wayne. Just giggling about Lil Wayne is coming to town. Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Why? Because you become Lil Wayne's concubine. I've seen guys get argumentative and mad about a hip hop star because they're homosexuals. They worship them like a woman. That's a groupie. You're not a fan. You are a groupie. When you're like that, Jay-Z or Lil Wayne could sodomize you and you let them. You don't believe you would if you used to begin to hang with them and were running with them. And Lil Wayne got drunk and high with him one day and say, hey man, why don't you just go on and let me have some of that booty. Next thing you know, you're in the back, bent over a chair squealing. And you never thought you would get to that. When you're in that spirit and it's driving you, you will do what you never thought you'd do and wake up the next morning feeling like a dog, feeling like nothing, because you gave this guy your trunk. That's crazy. What guy in his right mind would put his mouth on a woman's vagina? There's something wrong with you. See, years ago, you should have been institutionalized in an asylum. There's something wrong with you. What's wrong with you? You're a worshiper of the female form to the degree that you grovel it between the legs of a female form, eating the things sacrificed to an idol. Remember the Bible says, don't eat the things sacrificed to an idol. The Jezebel spirit is sacrificed to an idol, and you're eating it to become one with it. Ingesting body fluids will make you one with the thing that you're ingesting. So you get up as a hoe. Talk like a hoe, think like a hoe, you'll begin to walk like a hoe. So you get around men and you feel uncomfortable. I done seen a lot of guys walk out of services. They can't be in the environment where the real gospel is preached because that hoe in them won't let them submit to the word of God and change. I tell people, it's the process. All you got to do to wash anything is keep it under the water. Now, the thing about God, he uses scalding hot water. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, just wash me clean, Lord. Well, you know the water is 500 degrees Fahrenheit, right? Now put your hand under it and just to keep it there. It's going to burn all your skin off, burn the bone up, burn everything off. That's how he does it, though. You don't clean white stuff with cold water. And your wash cycle in your washer, you put it in hot water. So that's what you got to sit under. You got to get in the inferno and have the stuff burned out of your soul and just take it. You just sit in front of a blast furnace and just, I'll just sit here until I change. But see, if you don't submit to the process, you'll never be changed. The natural inclination of a guy is to mentally ascend to being something that he's not. You know what they'll usually do? They'll look at something and say, I can do that. And the more educated you are, the more prone you are to believe you can do it. You know what a person usually does to try to get in the gospel illegally? They go and get an education and get information. Most of the women you see who are outside of God's authority, they go to seminary and get a doctorate. So then, if you say anything to them, brother, I would have you to know. I am Dr. Cynthia Johnson. I graduated from Yale. I got my master's from Harvard. I have attended 3 seminaries. I have a doctorate in theology, divine letters, and apologetics. So before you come to me, you better come right. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. Information is not the authority of God. That's data. That's information. You read a lot of books, wrote a lot of term papers, you measured up to the dictates of the seminary, they gave you a doctorate, and now you think God stamped you approved. You're in an illegal operation in an authoritative position as a pastor that God then appoints you to. The man to accommodate it that's out there as a leader has made his wife the co-pastor, and they run the church like a couple that has a family store. It's a family business, and then they raise up their sons and daughters to take over when they die. People capped off worshiping that family clan, and it's just stupid. What we're into now is not the church, it's just rank stupidity. So out of all of this, God has to extract people who want a real identity in Christ. I want to be merged with Christ and walk in uniformity with Christ's nature. And everybody like that, men and women, will be all right together. There's some good women in church now. A lot of them need to tone it down because they got, you know, they've been taught to be, you know, kind of dictatorial, and they get too abrasive. See, the Bible still honors a meek and quiet spirit in a woman. She'll be able to save people through femininity, not through masculinity. She's trying to be a man. Where'd they come from? They emulate preachers they've seen. Paula White has done that. Juanita Bynum does it. They saw all these weird preachers. They said, that's a preacher. And a woman is very, very easily to be influenced. See, she's a lot of times sensitive to society realm and things she sees. So she says, I see these people shouting when he's preaching like that. So if I emulate him and work him up into a frenzy, I'm preaching. And they preach real loud and hard. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. See, you don't have to do all that. You don't have to do all that. Jesus was conversational. When you see a guy with all those histrionics, what you got is femininity. See how Jake talks? That's femininity. He can string stuff together real nice, too. Jake is a very, very, very skilled sorcerer. He's a magician. But he can string it together real good. And when you look at this particular item here, if you go back in time and you examine all the nuances of how Job was raised up at a particular time, at a particular place, to achieve a particular goal, if you examine it extensively, you'll see that Job, in all of his righteousness, never failed God, even though he doubted God here and there. He was able to rise above that circumstance, and then God. Come on. Then y'all say, you, ow, you know what's really happening? You are being spiritually sodomized by a magician. Illegal entry through your soul is sodomy. He didn't come through your spirit deep, calling the deep. He entered your soul and he's sodomizing you. Folks are sitting in church being sodomized. You know what they're going to join to? That preacher. They're going to be anchored to that preacher's personality. So if you say anything about the guy that sodomized them, they'll be offended by it because they've been joined and yoked to a sodomite, sodomized until their brain snapped, and they joined to the sodomite. Now, even a man is offended if you say anything about his sodomite preacher. Eddie Long is still walking around Atlanta at New Birth as a sodomite. The people sit right there because they've been sodomized by him so long that the sodomite is normal, and a man of God or a woman of God or anybody under the real inspiration of God is now foreign to them. Preaching is not histrionics and gymnastics. It's conversational. Well, all of your getting, get understanding. There's no human effort in God's word. You just tell it, and a person's spirit that's receptive to it can hear it, obey it, and walk in it. It's almost like people that are just in a flat line, unemotional state. Now God can come upon you and you can become emotional. You'll cry, you can run, jump, shout. I've seen all of that. But you got to be anchored in that word, man. And your mind got to be anchored in the logical, analytical presentation of the Bible, not emotionalism. Emotionalism is going to run out and leave you dry. And you'll need another fix on Wednesday and Sunday night to get hyped up again. That's why people go to church. They go to church to get hyped up on Wednesday and Sunday to make it through another 3 days and get another fix, like a heroin addict. It's all it is. You're addicted to the fix. Personality-driven trash is useless. This thing got to be done on the inside of you. You got to have an internal work done that will be in eternal and it's all of its consequences. So you're seeing now, as this thing develops, people who have not really submitted to the disciplines of God, like a Marine going through boot camp, they're not prepared for combat. So as the spirit world begins to open up and these portals opens and these entities come across, folks are going to draw back by the hundreds of thousands. I mean, everybody claim to be saved, most of them going to go back. I'm telling you right now before it happens. When you're called upon to really stand up against real Nephilim and people that have been embodied by supernatural forces, they're going to draw back. Nephilim have been embedded and have been incarnated in powerful people now that look like they're doing humanity good, but they're just Nephilim. The White House, Nephilim. The Pope came to America as a Nephilim. See, it's inconsequential what you hear them say that's good, because it's a Nephilim talking to you. The devil will embed 5% of a lie in 95% truth. You got to know that about them. They twist things to make it sound beneficial to everybody. What sits on the view every morning? That's a council of the Nephilim. They just talk about things and it looks so normal. Whoopi Goldberg and Raven Simone and Barbara or Walters, all these folk look like just normal everyday people. What's so terrifying about this war is the fact that the devil has absorbed himself into human personality to the degree that he looks normal. He likes to show you extreme things to make you believe. See, that's the devil right there. Somebody yelling or screaming or shooting people up. The devil. But the devil is sitting right next to you at your job. The devil is your supervisor. The devil is the school teacher. The devil is the principal. The devil is the person right over there gardening in your neighborhood you're waving to. The devil lives next door. Some folk are sleeping next to the devil. They're all right until you get ready to do something spiritual. Then all of a sudden, you see the devil rise up. Because you're sleeping next to a Nephilim or a demon or something is in them that responds to spiritual things. If you're goofing off, if you're barbecuing or watching TV or watching a movie or watching a game, it's all right. But when you get ready to do a spiritual thing, when you begin to get closer to God, you'll find that thing. You can feel the elements of it. You'll feel the animosity towards you. You know, you wonder why you acting so funny now? Because they know you're getting closer to God. Do you know how much the spirit world reverberates because guys get together just to deal with the Bible and deal with the Lord and get close to the Lord, pray, fast, seek the Lord? Man, there are all kinds of tuning forks that go off around that. Because the devil doesn't mind men meeting as long as you're at a He Motions meeting with Jakes. He knows you're not going to be empowered. You're going to be disempowered. You're going to leave your manhood on the altar and walk away less than what you were. Because he has in Jakes a Nephilim that's going to effeminize you. That's why Jakes can have megafists and invite in all these people that are going to disempower everybody. Oprah, Joel Osteen, Kerry Washington. Kerry Washington was in this last megafest telling people you need to accept the LGBT movement and just tolerate gays and homosexuals. We are called to love. The only commandment the Bible gives us is to love. That's a Nephilim talking to you. When you hear the words coexist, inclusion, love, don't judge, all those phrases, you're dealing with a master manipulator, a fallen one, an old one. Oprah has an old one in her. She takes for granted when she speaks, nobody will confront her. She's all sale and no buy. You talk back to Oprah, you can see her countenance change. You would dare. You would dare address me. You can see it all. Don Lemon's got a Nephilim in him on CNN. That homosexual spirit in him. When you talk back to Don Lemon, you can see his countenance just change. You remember it says about Nebuchadnezzar? His visage changed.
Yes, sir.
That scowl came on his face like, you would dare not bow to my image. Heat the fiery furnace 7 times hotter. That's what you're dealing with. When you see that thing in any arena where you got people in authority, you can work for anybody. And when you get ready to do a spiritual thing, watch how they change up on you. It's like, you would dare. And it's got people bound. Jobs, they won't even leave. You know, like, well, I can't, my job. Forget your crummy job, man. This is a warfare. Start going around all that. Say, hey, man, I used to tell a man at the post office. I used to work at the post office. I used to tell him, Schaumbach had a tent pitched down here in Pensacola, Florida. I go in and tell him, hey, I won't be here for 3 days. Lady told me one time, a supervisor, I don't know. I won't be here for 3 days.
I ain't got
I just put the stuff on the table. Here's my slip. I'll see y'all on Friday. Be crazy. You just go crazy on them. See, if you had crazy folk, will back up. You're like, don't mess with him. He kind of crazy, kind of off a little bit. He might go off, you know, that postal shooting stuff. You know, you never know about these people. You got to be like that sometimes, man, because Schaumbach got this tent up. And when that big blue gospel tent went up, I'm going into the front row because that joke would hit you heavy, man. I just sit and just take it. Like I was in front of a bold speaker just. Walk out all beat up, torn up inside, crying. I go back for another dose of it whenever he pitched that tent again. Because I want this stuff washed out of me. I knew I was messed up when I came in this thing. I didn't come in this thing right and logical and a man. I need somebody to help me, man. I need somebody to perform surgery on me. Because I got problems, man. Deep-rooted problems. Nobody comes in this thing perfected. You got to be made and forged into what God wants us to be. So you see now, as we slow this thing down and really begin to look at it, back away from it so you can see it real good. We're dealing with these fallen entities that have supernatural powers. These are superheroes. These jokers have real power, and they will use that power if God doesn't restrain them. A lot of times you pray prayers like, I bind the devil, and you feel like nothing happened. But if you didn't get killed today, you know why? The devil was bound. Yeah. See, the devil wants to murder you today. If you pray the prayer this morning saying, God, I bind the devil, I bind his influence, I bind what he's doing, I bind him over my family, I bind the devil in my finances. Now, if you don't go under and get killed today, the devil was bound. Because his goal is to wipe all of us out by this afternoon. So if you don't see the devil, all the people that got killed yesterday and today and you weren't one of them, the devil was bound over you. So don't take words for granted when you pray. They're being answered. There are warrior angels all around us that are binding the devil. But we're unconscious of it. We just walk around like, oh, man, you know, I had good luck. They tell you, good luck. Yeah, I'm lucky. Man, I almost went over that cliff driving up here. You know, it's a steep drop over here coming up these mountains. And my car slid and it stopped. Man, I was lucky, man. I was sure enough lucky. You weren't lucky, man. Luck comes from Lucifer. That's where the word luck is initiated from. It's God binding the devil. The devil wants to kill your kids. The devil wants to put sickness and disease on folks. The devil is always attacking. Remember Job? The devil went before God asking for access to Job. It's always going on around us. We're just not conscious of it. That's why I like what Tom Horn said. Even with all the little gymnastics and all the hoopla of Jim Baker's show, we want to zero in on the fact of a few things he said that are very, very valid. One was that God closed these gates. What did he mean by that? Before Adam fell, he had an awareness of the spirit world. He could actually interact with spirit beings. He talked to God like I'm talking to you. But gates were closed when he fell to protect us. See, because absolute exposure to God means you'll have absolute damnation when you fall. See, when Satan fell as Lucifer, he can't get back because he had absolute revelation. He looked at God in his face and spit in his face. Now, the Bible teaches us you can get to that level now. Read Hebrews chapter 6. And the final step is, and you taste of the powers of the world to come. What does he say next? If you fall away, there remains no more repentance for you, seeing that you do what? Crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So you see now, this is a progressive growth that you're going to. You're going through a progressive growth where you finally get to you experiencing the powers of a world that's going to come in the future. Now, when you breach that portal finally and you see that power flow through you and you're experiencing that supernatural existence, if you fall away, you're damned. So most folks at that point step back because, well, I figure if I don't go all the way into that, I still can fool around and repent and pray every day for forgiveness and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it's a rare person that want to go into that metaphysical warfare zone whereby I know what I'm doing, and if I cross over this divide, I got to stay over here, and you got to live differently from everybody else. And the thing about it is you won't act strange. You'll be the supernatural normal one. Now think about what I'm saying. This is why I'm slowing. Let's slow this thing down. Let's slow this thing down to a crawl. Look at what the world has done to us. You're looking at Lil Wayne, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, Miley Cyrus, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Oprah, Whoopi Goldberg, all these stars in Hollywood, all the preacher presentations, all the stuff that the world promotes. And they walk around as if all of that's normal. And then if you say all of that's crazy, you're abnormal. So you'll be supernaturally normal when you're separated from him. But look at what I'm saying now. Do you really believe that a 50-year-old man like Jay-Z standing there on the stage talking about he got 99 problems, you think he's normal? You think he's a normally developed man at his age doing what he's doing right now? But the world does. They don't see anything wrong with him. You really believe Kanye West is normal? You think Beyonce walking around with a little spank baby, a little baby girl, butt naked, in public, with no drawers on, you think she's normal? Now look what the world will do to you. They'll crucify you for this. They're walking around in total anarchy in their minds, something that is insane by any reasonable measurement of your life and your mind and your mental acumen. They're walking in that. And if you're not caught up in it, you're abnormal. See, some things you got to be delivered from internally that you know are binding you. Like, I'll tell you a good one with a guy. You know the feeling you got when it's fourth down and one? See, Falcon fans know all about this right here. The feeling you get when it's fourth down and one and you lose 2 yards. And that thing inside of you is like, I can't. And that anguish, you know, football can make you feel anguish. It shouldn't be doing that to you. These guys are millionaires. Do you really think they really care that much about this? They might feel a little heat about, man, we lost, man. But I got this Maserati outside and one of these babes is cheerleading. You see those two babes right there that's cheerleading? They'll be at my house tonight. And I already got the cocaine and all the stuff. And I'm living in a $300,000 penthouse. And the game was bad. You know how the guy used to fall off those skis on ABC talking about, you know, the agony of defeat and all of that. It might last for 15 minutes after the game, but all the fellas coming over after the game, both the players on our team and the other team, the whole cheerleading squad is coming over, and it's going to be on and popping. I think all the Vikings went out on a cruise ship with a bunch of prostitutes and porno stars. Do you really think these guys care that much? Can you really get down to the 1 or 2 yard line with beast mode in the backfield and throw a pass, man? The fix is in, man. Let's get serious. Nobody, no offensive coordinator in his right mind. First down and goal to go from the 2 yard line. And you got this joker that can run over linebackers, man. What? Come on, man. Let's get for real. We're seeing things that are, you see sports and you watch things, and you sitting there like, with your mouth hanging open like, and you look at each other, you and your buddy sitting there. What kind of fool, man? Throwing stuff and busting the screen out of your TV, you know, throwing beer bottles at the TV and stuff. See, that's one of the things that ties you to the world. But when you can watch a football game, and I enjoyed it, that's a good game, boom, 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 yeah. And you ain't caught up in it, and you don't spend like 3 days, you know, agonizing, just running back through your mind. You running that play back through your mind over there. Let's see. Depressed, driving to work for 2 days, thinking about first down and goal from the 2 yard line, man. Going back home, you know, you recorded the thing and watching it again. And you're bound to the world. That's normal to everybody. See, that's normal to most guys. They paint their face purple and gold. Joker got all kinds of those Nordic helmets on at the Viking game. With all these horns on them, and got a spear and all this stuff. And and they're normal. Nobody sees anything wrong with it. You come out of all of that, that it doesn't have any kind of internal entry into you, and it's not binding you and driving you anymore. And they tell you, man, something wrong with you, man. What's wrong with you? I'm normal, man. I'm normal. I realize that millionaires, everybody involved in this is a millionaire, and the owners are billionaires. You know what sports really is? It's how billionaires play chess. That's all it is. They're so rich they play with human pieces. That's all it is. It's just a chess game. And they boast to each other in private about their chess pieces and who they got in the draft. You know I got girly, right? We got girly, man. Who did you draft? Oh, I see. It wasn't too successful, was it? It's just chess. And they just go to the country clubs and light up those big stokies and sit and brag about what they did and what they got. And it's just chess played with human pieces. That's why they pay the players millions of dollars to be able to boast about what they're doing. They're building a $1.6 billion stadium for the Falcons right next to a beautiful dome that has no problems. You can't find a flaw with the Georgia Dome, and yet they're building a $1.6 billion stadium right next to it. I mean, you can throw a stone from that stadium to this one. And you're asking them, why are you doing this? And I don't think the stadium is even, the Georgia Dome, not even 20 years old good, is it? Why are they doing that? Because Arthur Blank is competing with Jerry Jones in Texas to have the biggest and the best. It's personal. Then they come to the taxpayers and tell you need to put these taxes into this stadium. Because it's going to bring what? So much revenue into the city that we need this. They tell you, we need this. I personally need this. That's crazy. So what I'm trying to get to is this. The Olympic Games in the Greek and Roman Empire was really all the different regions coming together to compete. And who were they representing? The gods. The gods play chess using human pieces. The Nephilim and the fallen angels like to pit humans against each other and just to make it into a game. The master game they play is when you see a world war fought. Did you not know that Germany has a governing angel over it? France does, England does, America does, Japan does, Russia does. All they do is kill hundreds of millions of humans to play chess. Just to say we won, our team won. They form up alliances in the heavenlies, and you see it reflected on the earth. That's how you get the Axis powers. That's how you get the people that form the North American Union over there, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. These are all fallen angels combining forces to reign and get power. When you really extract your mind to realize what we're up against, you see the world and everything that happens in a whole new paradigm. So you don't get drawn into it. It starts off with the demons and individual people that are small fry demons. It'll work its way up to world rulers and Nephilim and fallen angels. A human, as they seek to be empowered and embodied by the spirit realm, you move up in power to be worshipped in the seen realm based on what entity you let in. See, the more powerful entity you get, the more you receive the worship. That's what's governing. There's no reason for anybody to be drawn to idiotic stars and rappers and Hollywood people and celebrities. There's no reason for you to be even interested in what they do. Why does Yahoo and your other news feeds keep telling you about Kim Kardashian? Now they tell you about Kourtney and they tell you about Khloe. Now they're talking about Kendall and all the those little 18-year-old girls. Why would an 18-year-old girl matter to anybody? Because they've been embodied by entities, and the devil knows who he can exalt, who he can use based on the entity in that person. He'll only use a person he can trust. If the devil can't trust you, he won't use you. Because you might get into the wrong place at the wrong time and say something he didn't plan on. He was using Tupac. Tupac was saying stuff he didn't want him to say. Tupac began to talk about the New World Order and the elite, and he went into that Illuminati stuff, the Killuminati and all this stuff. See, the devil said, you know what? I'm giving an order to off him. Kill him. That came down from headquarters in the spirit world. He'll use physical pawns to do it, But that comes from Satan direct. Down through his hierarchy, orders come down to kill. Michael Jackson was getting ready to go on a worldwide concert tour. The devil saw him practicing. He saw he didn't have it anymore. He was 50 years old. He was out there half dead trying to moonwalk. You know, he was just about ready to pass out. The devil said, what? I can't use this boy no more. Keep off him. Elvis, drunk, fat dude, off him. Whitney Houston lost her vocal abilities. I can't use them. I got all the juice out the lemon. Awful. But when you're under the devil's auspices, that you got no protection. You gave your soul to the devil. You sold your soul to the devil. They really go to rituals in Hollywood and in the recording industry, and they must sign their names in blood. And it's real, man. This is not play. So a lot of people you see walking around, and they always, you know, you see a little Wayne, he's still drinking syrup, still high all the time, because his soul been given to the devil. He got to try to cope with the fact that his soul is given to the devil. Bob Dylan told it on 60 Minutes. I got to pay the man, man. And then I think Dan Rather said, well, who you talking about? No, that black guy was talking to him. He said, who you talking about, Bob? Who you? You know who I mean. I'm talking about the big man. Chief, the man in charge. He has sold his soul to the devil. The Beatles, Aleister Crowley, witchcraft, they sold their souls to the devil. The Rolling Stones sold their souls to the devil. Jimmy Page moved into Aleister Crowley's mansion, sold their souls to the devil. When you see folk come out of the pack and begin to rise up, somebody did something to sell their soul to the devil. When Jay-Z signed that contract with the Masons and got into that Masonic order and went through the initiations, everything talking about blue, when he talks about the blue album and all that stuff is codes, man. They letting you know I sold my soul. That's why they got to put the symbols out there. Every time you see Beyonce, now she got that. People try to call it three sisters, but it really means the third eye is open. I'm illuminated. And the devil will give you an illumination in your mind to make you believe now you're an enlightened one. You're a deep thinker. You've been privy to what? The hidden mysteries. See, Masonic orders go through initiations and steps in hierarchies called degrees. Notice how the devil always operates in handing out degrees. You become more and more aware of the dark arts, and you're becoming privy to what's behind the scene. Now, I'm gonna watch this now very carefully. If you think about this, how is it you got thousands of churches and nobody talks about this? How is this possible that the church is sealed up where it's not even discussed? And if you bring it up, you become the enemy of the church. Know what it is? Freemasons govern the church. Most of these guys in the pulpit are Masons. These guys are warlocks. They're not preachers. The devil has called up an order of warlocks to govern the people in church to make sure they never have their minds open to the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's making sure they stay dumbed down. See, what I'm telling you right now, when you leave these mountains, you're going to leave here with a whole nother perception of what you're around. When you hear people around you, look at them now, you're going to hear them for real this time. Your cousin, that girl cousin that's really a member of the Deltas, you can really see her now. When she's talking, you're wondering, that thing got a hold of her. Because she was initiated into the Deltas, went through the burning sands and crossed over. And when that demon came in, now you're commanded to serve as those Q Dogs, girl. These girls went to college and got turned out. You see those teachers walking through these schools? The AKAs and the Deltas, how whored out they are? Because they were trained in school and college to be a whore to the frat brothers. Let a frat brother come around and watch them perk up. Because they're a whole train to service the frat brothers. Frat brothers run trains on those sorority girls. They'll take on the whole frat house. Now think about it. You graduated with a degree now, and now you're in high school teaching a student, but you've been turned out. Your mind is shot out. Now, you're a very astute biology teacher, but you were turned out a whore. At the same time, the worst kind of whore is an educated, well-heeled whore. A very articulate whore. You ever heard Superhead talk? Superhead ain't no dummy now. Superhead can say things that'll make you like, you know, she's really bright. But what's her claim to fame? Sucking penises. But you know what she'll couch all that in? I'm a liberated woman. And men have been liberated in their sexual functionalities all of their lives. And so if I want to have sex, and she'll be using all the F words and everything, if I want to F somebody and this, that, and the other, that's my right as a human being. I'm tired of the restrictions put on women. And I like to F folks, and I do it with whom I please, where I please, how I please. And I answer to no one. And no one has the right to judge me about it. Superhead.
That's the name.
That's her claim to fame. And the world will sit there and say, right on. She's a liberated woman. That's what I'm talking about right there. She's bold, she's brash, and she comes at you and she speaks her mind. And I respect her. I want to be her. Young girls want to be Trina. Young girls want to be Nicki Minaj. Girls in the fifth and sixth grade performing oral sex on guys in the bathrooms. I talked to a custodian the other day. Walked in the bathroom, the guy had a girl in a boy's bathroom, butt naked. He just in there tearing the girl apart, having sex with her on the floor. A nasty, peed up, stank middle school floor. The guy jumped up, semen all over his pants. He said, man, get out of here, what you doing? And the girl just sitting up there butt naked. He said, girl, get your clothes on and get up out of here. And she walking through the school right now with impunity. He said, that's you right there, man. See that girl there? That's the one. Man. I mean, did anybody go, they were suspended for 3 days.
Man.
What's doing that? They're feeding on the music. It's the music of the fallen ones, the music of the fallen angels, the music of the demon. So people are so enamored with it and so bound to it, they try to take all that filth that they've been bound by, and they try to drag it into the church realm, the religious world, and try to make you accept it as being valid. That's the war. Now, look, we're going to fight a lot of wars on a lot of fronts. You might as well get ready for it. We can delineate all the wars we're going to fight. It's going to be the hip-hop war. It's going to be the oral sex, sodomite war. It's going to be the woman pastoring war. It's going to be a multifaceted war. But what it is this, you're faithful to one individual, Jesus Christ, and you got to eliminate all the distractions that come against you and be focused on him, and we proactively, on the offensive, bring the battle to the enemy. We don't take incoming. We don't take incoming. Like I said, the guy wrote me a message this morning talking about, man, polygamy is the truth of the Bible, and you're in a delusion preaching and teaching monogamy. That's a delusion. You need to repent, brother, and I'm praying for you. So at that point, you say, hey, man, don't talk to me anymore in life, man. Because you don't have time to be, I can't go back and forth. You're entrenched in that craziness, reading a Bible that you said you read, and you came to that conclusion. Hey, man, you know, the Bible says, don't even wish him Godspeed. Hey, man. See you, man. I just tell them you're wasting your time talking to me. I don't believe that trash, and I never will. I got folks coming at you. They'll come at you. They come at me the same way. Y'all get the same stuff shooting at you, you know. Guys trying to make you believe in that black man stuff and Hebrew Israelite stuff and the Sabbath days, all that junk they're shooting at you. Hey, man, hey, if you want to believe that, that's fine with me. I'm not mad at you. Why are you mad at me? Notice how you don't carry any kind of offense or any anger toward them, but they get irritated and get mad at you. That's because that's a Nephilim. That's a demonic entity that wants to pull you into the realm of delusions. And when you don't take the bait and you don't bite, you dirty lowdown, they hate you because that's demonic. But when you're just focused on Christ, the person, and not doctrines, see, you're not about doctrines. I'm about an individual. that I met that saved my soul, and I'm faithful not to doctrines and dogma and data and organizations and denominations. I'm faithful to him. You see the disparity there? They got a bunch of faithful doctrines that they adhere to. You're faithful to a person. They're faithful to denominations and organizations and doctrines. You'll never find those people unified with the church, not the real church, because we don't get caught up in doctrines. We don't microscopically examine doctrines. We're dealing with a person. A person. So you see now, how do you stay free from all the distractions? I call it a vertical journey. You got to have a vertical victory. A vertical victory that is designed just for you as an individual. We're going to watch a movie this evening as we eat dinner tonight when we barbecue. We're going to relax a little bit and watch this movie entitled Fountainhead. We changed it to Fountainhead. And it's about a guy that's being, you know, he's being accosted trying to make him conform to the collective, the universal collective. If you understand communism, they operate in a structure of collectivism whereby everybody must conform to the collective good. You lose your individuality, and you now conform to the ideals and the ideas of the collective. That's going to eliminate all what? All individual desire, all motivation, all dedication for you trying to achieve things. It's going to make you into a universal clone, and what the devil is depicted now is just a zombie. You just mechanically do what you do as a part of the collective. You expect nothing more than what the collective gives you. Everybody has a flat line salary. Everybody's the same. We don't have anybody that's an elitist or anybody above anybody. What they do is they dumb the people down to accept communism, and then this elite illuminated group rule over them. Putin is a billionaire, but he's telling you, you need to just serve the government and serve the collective. While he's prospering and living high on the hog with mansions and everything everywhere, all these women and just drinking the best wine and the best Russian vodka, and telling you, you need to just support the collective. That's how the devil does it. That's how churches are set up. The church is a collective called the laity, and we are the ministry. And you people should all get together as the collective and serve under us. The real job of the ministry is to get everybody a personal identity. You get to Jesus, and whatever he tells you to do, do it. If I never see you again in life, good. Be about the Father's business. We're not trying to get a bunch of folk to follow anybody. People hate this. Why? You're accountable and responsible to God yourself. You're not with anybody else. That's hated. You might, I'm telling you, I've learned over the years, that is a despised message. And it doesn't even make sense. You feel like, man, anybody should accept this. This is perfect. I don't have to worry about you holding me back, and I'm not trying to hold you back. I can come in here, and the sky is the limit. As far as I want to take it in God, I can take it. If you don't want to go, God's not looking at you holding me back. He's not looking at me being with you. I can get as much of this as I want based on my own personal desire. I can force my way in. I can push in on God, and he'll dole it out to me based on me individually and not looking at a group that I have to belong to. That's perfect, man. Now, what's the church? It's the called out ones who are like this. So when you get together with the real church, you don't feel that invisible thing. I can't even determine. I can't even tell you what it is. But you, when you're around it, you can feel it. It's a thing around that says there's a standard we measure you by. You don't have on a gray suit. You're none of us. You're none of us. There's some, you didn't wear your white gloves. No. See, it's some element, it's something that you can't even, you can walk in it, and when you know it's there, but you can't really define what it is. But you know what it is? It's conditional acceptance. It's conditional acceptance is a monster, because God unconditionally accepts everybody. He doesn't have conditions on accepting us other than you come through Jesus Christ and lay down one life to get another. That's it. See, the other life is really a mirage of a life. It's not even real. Everybody lives a phony, make-believe life unsaved. You put on a mask and you play it as if that's you. And you basically come in and you evaluate an environment and you find out what I got to do to make it in this environment. People do it on jobs all the time. They give you these standards and you begin to conform to the standard and you become a part of the little clique and you move up based on your conformity to the clique. If they see you as a rebel, they then marginalize you and say, you don't move him up because we can't trust him. See, everybody on the job running whores. And that joke is a faithful family man. We go out and pick up whores after work and we run into the strip joint and we pull in some heavy whores. And I added this, we got an apartment we done rented out that everybody uses. And we just run into whores heavy, drinking, smoking, doping, and acting crazy. But this is a family man. He goes to church. Don't let him in. Don't. As a matter of fact, we need to fire him. Because, see, if we go in and doing something, he's liable to tell his wife, who in turn will tell my wife, and it's going to be on and popping if that joke is allowed to hang around us. If you got a pack of sodomites, you must be sodomized first before you become a member of the group. Hip-hop is like this. You're not going to rise up in hip-hop until you bent over somebody's desk. Because they got to be able to do what? Trust you. We trust you by knitting ourselves into you. Remember Lot? The Sodomites said, what? Bring them out, that we may make of them what we are. The Bible used the word know. That word know is about intercourse. Intercourse binds souls together. It knits souls together. So any realm where you see any kind of an exclusive group, you better believe a lot of folk being sodomized.